All right, step eight, we map it out. Step nine, we execute. We don't want to do any more further harm when we're making right the wrongs we've committed. And to take us through steps 9 and 10, I'm going to turn it over to Camilla.
Thank you so much, Cameron. And again, welcome, everybody. Thank you for all of your patience. You have been taking on so much information. Just remember that it's all in the workbook and it's all in the big book. It's just another approach we've taken, and it's simplified it through the yes and no's. And I love the clip that we just watched, because the pure essence of what Gandhi is embodying is non-interference, non-violence, ahimsa. And we're going to learn what that means in our step nine. And as Cameron described, and all of my fellows here presenting to you, most of these steps are done. We're on step nine because we've done the 1 to 8. There's a lot of work that has been done. So let's look at where we're learning the embodiment now. So perhaps just take a deep breath in. Yeah, that's part of embodiment, isn't it? And relax, sit back. You're taking on everything you need to, and your soul is very much so present. I know we're all in the room and that unity is present. So on step nine, it says, made direct amends. Direct meaning one-on-one to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them to or others. So we're going to learn what that exception is. We're going to learn what it means to injure others. And we're going to relearn what it is to go to the properly appointed authority, which you will remember from step five. And these steps are to harm no one. We're getting right with others on step nine. There's an embodiment. There's the living of the spiritual practices. It's not a theory. It's that sometimes we hear an alcoholic, an addict, say that the only thing they need to do is to keep sober or clean. Certainly, they must keep sober or clean, for there will be no home if they do not. But they are yet a long way from making good to those whom for years they have so shockingly treated. I have. The rule is we must be hard on ourselves, but always considerate of others. And here's the thing, we're going to learn a new meaning to what it means to be considerate of others. And we're going to remember to remove haste and urgency, and as we learn how to make amends and where it's not possible to do so. We subjected ourselves to a drastic self-appraisal. We did that in our step four. It's a yes. Now, fast, we go out to our fellows and repair the damage done in the past. We attempted to sweep away the debris, the harms done, which has accumulated out of our efforts to live on self-will and run the show ourselves. If we haven't the will to do this, there is our step nine willingness prayer. We ask until it comes. Remember, it was agreed at the beginning we should go to any length for victory over alcohol, drugs, obsessive compulsive behavior, whatever it is that you like to snort, shoot down, whatever it is. Right? We said yes to that. So the forgiveness, the willingness prayer is when I'm 7 generations removed from the willingness to even look at my the injury done, I have to become willing to make those amends. And that willingness prayer becomes the soothing soundtrack of that action. So on item one is our resentments. And the saying that Cameron always says, eat your humble pie fresh, the longer it sits, the worse it tastes. So we're learning humility. Probably there's still some misgivings. Yes, I'm an addict. There are a lot of misgivings all the time. My liar likes to have a lot of questions. The question of how to approach the person we hated will arise. It may be they have done us more harm than we have done them. And though we may have acquired a better attitude toward them, we are still not too keen about admitting our faults. That's our column four. Those are my faults, not the story and the history, what I did, what I said. And then in recounting what I did and what I said, I freshen up this wound for the person I'm making amends to. All of a sudden, I'm there thinking about all the shit I said and did. We're admitting our faults the way it's been right-sized in our column four. I'm angry. I'm helpless. I'm unfaithful. I'm resentful. It's always the same thing. I'm dishonest. It says, nevertheless, with a person we dislike, we take the bit in our teeth. We start following instructions. We go to them in a helpful and forgiving spirit. And there's that mannerism. There is a spirit through which we take these actions. It has to be helpful and forgiving. If I'm not helpful and forgiving, what business do I have considering this amend as non-injurious? It's injurious through my attitude. Confessing our former ill feeling and expressing our regret, which is again, my column four. How did I show up? I showed up as dishonest, as selfish, as unwilling, as cheating, as lying, as stealing. It's not the story and the things I've said. Under no condition do we criticize such a person or argue. When we argue and criticize, it means more paperwork, more amends. We are there to sweep off our side of the street. Their faults, their column two, are not discussed. And I always get the visual when I read this line. I get the visual of sweeping my side of the street with a broom that does not clean yours or anyone else's. In fact, it will not clean yours by default. It says we stick to our own, and that we do, which is our wrong conduct in column four. Anger, resentment, forgiveness, prayer. Tip of my tongue, anger is one of my favorite drugs choice. This was our course. We realized that the people in column one who wronged us were perhaps spiritually sick. Would you agree, yes or no? Though we did not like their symptoms in column two and the way these disturbed us in our column three, how we were impacted, they, like ourselves, were sick too. Would you agree, yes or no? It's a yes. And most of the time, they might be sick people who do not have access to the same program and God as I do today. It says we ask God to help us show them the same tolerance. There's the spirit. There's the embodiment. Tolerance, pity, and patience, and we would cheerfully grant a sick friend. So I ask you, my fellows in this room, how do you embody tolerance, pity, and patience? Through your words, through your actions, through your silence, through your eyes. Do you eye roll on the inside? Do you die on the inside? Patience, tolerance, and pity here needs to be embodied. When a person offended, we said to ourselves, this is a sick person. How can I be helpful to this person? God, save me from being angry. Thy will be done. And I always say, this is a sick person. God, save me from being anything but love. Because anger is just the first of many emotional tones I like to pick up. So God, save me from anything but love. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Acceptance, forgiveness, unconditional love. And I believe, Cameron, you have a video for us. There you go.
This is a video clip from the movie The Shack, where a young man's daughter was abducted. She was raped and murdered, and he has confronted the killer, and he's being led on this quest of forgiveness by a shaman, and this is the narrative of that process. It's pretty powerful.
He killed my daughter. I want to hurt him. I want him to hurt like he hurt me. I want you to hurt him.
I know you do. But he too is my son, and I want to redeem him.
Redeem him? He should burn in hell.
So we're back to you as the judge.
So you just let him get away with it.
Nobody gets away with anything. Everything bears consequences.
What he did
was horrible. I'm not asking you to excuse what he did. I'm asking you to trust me to do what's right and to know what's best.
And then what?
Forgiveness doesn't establish your relationship. It's just about letting go of his throat. Mac, the pain inside is devouring you, robbing you of joy and crippling your capacity to love.
I can't.
You're not stuck because you can't. You're stuck because you won't. do this alone. I'm here with you.
I don't know how.
Just say it out loud. Such a joy.
Back to you, Camille.
Thank you so much, Cameron. And so from there, acceptance, forgiveness, unconditional love. We get to right-size all of that in this step. Item two is money. And the properly appointed authority discussion starts coming in. Seeing an accountant, a debt counselor, me going to my family and my fellows about my money matters when they're, I need to see an accountant or debt counselor is not helpful. It says most alcoholics, addicts owe money. Yes or no? It's a yes. We do not dodge our creditors. We take the call. We pay the bill. We take the call. We pay the bill. We take the call. We pay the bill. Arranging the best deal. We can let these people know we're sorry. We must lose our fear of creditors no matter how far we have to go, meaning no half measures. For we are liable to drink, to use, to act out if we're afraid to face them. For me, it's a very straightforward formula. If I don't pick up the call, if I don't pay the bill, I will be using, I will die. I do not go to the gates of insanity that quickly. I go to death a lot quicker. Item three is criminal offenses. We see a lawyer. That's the properly appointed authority there. Perhaps we've committed a criminal offense, it says, which might land us in jail if it were known to the authorities. Is it a yes or a no? If I was caught, if I'm not caught, no, it would not have. But if I was caught, I would. Although these reparations take innumerable forms, which is our column five, the spiritual principles, there are some general principles which we find guiding. There are the principles. Reminding ourselves that we've decided to go to any length, meaning no half measures. We follow the recipe to find a spiritual experience. We ask that we be given strength and direction to do the right thing. And that's a step nine prayer. God, give me the strength and the direction to do the right thing, no matter what the personal consequences may be. We may lose our position or reputation or face jail, but we are willing. We have to be. We must not shrink at anything. And for many of us, losing our reputation or our position in our families and our jobs and society is jail. And for many of us, we live in the jail, the bondage of self inside our heads while we haven't lost our position or reputation. So consider that. This one is also important to sponsors who are receiving inventories from those who may have been involved in criminal offenses. We do not take the heaviness, the weight of such that does not belong. It will make me liable and accountable to take actions to receive your criminal inventory. That's not what we're doing here. You put me in danger, you put somebody else in danger. You could be working with somebody who used to be a gangster, used to be in some kind of a organized crime. Our job as sponsors, advisors, is not to receive that. It's to receive where this person has been angry, dishonest, everything that is in our column four. So we get into our remove fear prayer. Instead, we let God demonstrate through our column five, through us, what God can do. We ask God to remove our fear and direct our attention to what God would have us be. At once, we commence to outgrow our fear. And that's the prayer. God, remove my fear and direct my attention to what you would have me be. God, what would you have me be in this moment? Almost every time God says, be loving, be kind, be helpful, be tolerant, be understanding, be joyous, be free. Item four is sex relations, and it impacts all of us. We do not share our sex conduct at meetings. It's not safe to do that. Even using certain vocabulary, certain language will set someone off. The promise is unity and helpfulness to others. It says the chances are that we have domestic troubles, yes or no? Yes, we do. Perhaps we're mixed up with people in other fashion we wouldn't care to have advertised. Yes, that includes non-human objects in this point. If I have a weird relationship, a fashion I wouldn't care to advertise with content on internet or pornography, I have to subject that relationship to this test. Was it selfish or not, it says. And then there's the prayer for sex amends. We ask God to mold our ideals and help us to live up to them. In meditation, we ask God, the properly appointed authority for this part, that we should do what we should do about each specific matter. And I love that. It's asking for me to be concise about what I'm bringing in front of God instead of dumping with that garbage truck sound that Cameron played, dumping it all on God and be like, why am I not hearing you calling me back? I've been sending God to voicemail for years. Why am I receiving this kind of expectation from whatever source that God's going to come through and do that? It says each specific matter, the right answer will come if we want it. So do you want the answer? When you're not hearing, your answer is in the silence. What are you interpreting that as? It says we earnestly pray for the right ideal. For guidance in each questionable situation. There it is again, each questionable situation. For sanity, again, these are instructions. I'm asking for sanity. It's a prayer. For strength to do the right thing. If sex, drugs, booze, acting out is very troublesome, we throw ourselves the harder into helping others. We think of their needs and we work for them. This takes us out of ourselves, the bondage of self. It quiets the imperious urge, which makes it easier to control the drinking, the drugging, the using, the acting out. When to yield would mean heartache. What is heartache in this page? It's more paperwork. It's more amends. On to page 24. Take a deep breath in. We're going to learn what it means to follow instructions. Very simple. Three instructions right there. Get consent. Consult the properly appointed authority. Ask God for direction. And stay for the answer. It says, before taking drastic action, which might implicate other people, we secure their consent. There you go. These are the steps that are supposed to be non-harmful, right? If we have obtained permission, consent, if we got a yes, we have consulted with others, the PAA, the criminal matters, see a lawyer, mental, emotional issues, see a therapist, medical issues, see a doctor, financial matters, see an accountant, tax lawyer, debt counselor, more matters, see a spiritual advisor, sponsor. I sound like that radio guy that just reads everything so quickly in that line. And then we ask God to help. That was number three. Remember, we ask God in meditation to help. And the drastic step is indicated. We must not shrink. There's a lot of shrinkage in our confidence when we're doing this, getting the consent, consulting the PAA, especially on matters we're in absolute shame and guilt about. And we're asking for God's direction. It says there's a long period of reconstruction ahead. Absolutely, it's not an overnight matter. We must take the lead. Yes, we're becoming leaders. There's a chart that shows us on page 31. A remorseful mumbling that we're sorry won't fit the bill at all. The spiritual life is not a theory. We have to live it. This step is about living it. It's about drawing your shoulders away from your ears so you let go of that false pride when you approach a person you're trying to make amends with. Our behavior will convince them more than our words. We must remember that 10 or 20 years of drunkenness, addiction, using would make a skeptic out of anyone. So stop with the sorries. We're learning how to go deeper. We're learning how to take accountability for the conduct right-sized in column 5 and use the right language. There may be some wrongs we can never fully right. Yes, this is important because my addict brain wants to make everything right. I'm on that cloud 9. Everyone needs to join me. And when they don't, I get resentful. It says we don't worry about them if we can honestly say to ourselves that we could right them if we could. We would right them if we could. Yes, some people cannot be seen. We send them an honest letter. This was written at a time when text, Facebook, email, Zoom, I don't know, IG, phone book, TikTok, Snapchat wasn't available. But now the availability of all of that makes it so accessible for me to reach out without taking the necessary constructive actions and pausing. So when I can't do something right, I have to disregard all of these ways through which I can reach out to someone because maybe they have asked me to stay away and that's the amends. So don't make the call. Don't write the letter. Write the letter reader to your sponsor and see where your selfishness still comes through. That's the challenge. It says there may be a valid reason for postponement. Yes, like a restraining order. Like a court case that's in front of a judge and I should not be around my children in some cases. But we don't delay if it can be avoided. We should be sensible. There's the mannerism again. Highlight that for yourself. I should be sensible, tactful, considerate, and humble. Without being servile, groveling, askissing, or scraping, quarrelsome. As God's people, we stand on our feet. We don't crawl before anyone. And in that quarrelsome part of it, it means more amends. And that sensible and tactful, considerate part of it means, no, Kimia, you're going to be void of motives. Tactful does not mean get the results you want, so conduct yourself in a way that is appealing. No, it's what is in the best interest of another person, regardless of me. Step 9 promises, and these are the promises. So take a deep breath in. Let's take it in as the miracles. If we are painstaking, meticulous about this phase, or step 8 and 9 of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. We're going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past nor shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity and we will know peace. Oh, that feeling. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. We will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. When I lose interest in selfish things, I lose interest in the constant chatter of the liar. When I lose interest in that constant chatter, I'm going to gain interest in the rest of this movie. It's not just my movie anymore. It's as self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and economic insecurity will leave us. The money problem. The constant fear that I'm going to be broken homeless. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. It will come from a place of intuition, not the liar's constant voice trying to justify the same set of information that it keeps repeating. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us and through us what we could not do for ourselves. Do you want this experience, my fellows? Yes or no? I have a feeling this room wants it. So boop, boop, boop. Give it up for the yes.